morning, neighbors. How are you? Welcome to your open mic program for this Wednesday, September 16th, the year 2009. I'm Dan Mitchell. My phone number, 357-1290. My email, dan@wkbkam.com. We get together over the course of the next 50 minutes to talk about things of interest to you, allow you to ask some questions, make some comments, share things that you find, see, or have folks share with you over the internet. Again, my email, dan@wkbkam.com. We'll have some open phone line time starting just about 25 minutes from right now. As promised, beginning here in our first hour. This time was originally set up when it was assumed or thought that he'd be a mayoral candidate. He found out later on that he wouldn't be a mayoral candidate, so we'll use the time right now to find out what exactly happened. Many will recognize his voice as a frequent caller to our programs. May also recognize him as the host of Free Talk Live. It's a nationally syndicated program that emanates right out of Keene, New Hampshire, and can be heard Saturday nights 7 to 10 on WKBK when, of course, there's not a Red Sox game or broadcast going on. Ian Bernard joins us, and I was again going to refer to you as a free stater or libertarian, former libertarian, not always sure how to identify you.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
I like it when a guest brings their own headphones, by the way. So,
well, I'm a professional,
it's
you know.
It's interesting. Well, yours are bigger, and you just wanted to show those off. So how do we, if let's say you were a candidate right now, and I was saying, and even though the elections in the city of Keene are supposed to be nonpartisan, you know, we don't say Democrat mm-hmm. Dale Pregin or Republican, you know, so-and-so.
I wouldn't put either of those in front of my name anyway.
So you don't consider yourself a libertarian?
Not anymore. I don't use that term.
They kick you out?
No, I actually quit.
You kicked them out?
I quit because I'd had the lifetime membership, so I actually had to withdraw from the Libertarian Party. Because
is that hard to do, or do you have to?
No. Well, I mean, I had some regrets because I spent several years of my life working to build the Libertarian Party down in Sarasota, Florida, which is where I'm from. And I was disappointed with them when they started to kind of stray off into a direction that was kind of designed to appease people that it wasn't principled. And they call themselves the party of principle. And the principle is that you don't aggress against peaceful people. And then they started taking positions on issues that supported aggression. So I couldn't align myself with that.
All right. And as far as free stater, you are technically a free stater.
Guilty as charged, right?
The same way that Fred Parcells calls himself a free stater.
I don't know if it's the same as Fred. Because
he's the original, you know.
Technically, you have to be a member or participant in the Free State Project in order, I think, to be a free stater. But you could certainly be a liberty-minded person. You could certainly be a liberty activist. And Fred Parcells, man, making news last week with his standing up to the city council and talking about decriminalization of marijuana.
I'm telling you, he's the original free stater.
He's a good guy. I like
So that kind of falls in line a lot with what you've been advocating.
Yeah, I think we've seen Fred take a few steps in the direction toward liberty and embrace some new ideas, and so that's great.
But he's a former police officer and still very much devoted to the badge, I would say.
Sure.
A lot of folks that you hang with, maybe yourself as well, tend to disagree an awful lot with law enforcement and what they represent. Not necessarily the individuals. I know you guys get along pretty good, actually, with the cops.
Well, yeah, we do have a good relationship, and I try to keep things positive. We've got the Keene Police Hugging Squad that we've formed recently, and that's been going pretty well.
Hugging squad?
Well, yeah, we think the police need more hugs. I mean, look, think about the kinds of people they have to deal with all day. It's in many cases, the bottom of the barrel.
Let's talk about some of the people that they have to show up and deal with. I mean, a lot of times it's you guys.
Well, now, they don't have to show up, you see. The police have...
But you want them to. If they don't, then you guys will have to move someplace else.
No, absolutely not. If somebody does an event with civil disobedience, say the topless lady downtown a couple weeks ago, I'm sure you heard about it, they don't have to show up. They have what they call discretion. If you actually look at their code of ethics, they mention discretion, and that means that they can just decide to not enforce laws. I was with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition member Bradley Jardis. He's the only law enforcement officer who's on duty in New Hampshire, who's actually a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. He was with me last night, and we have a great relationship, and he's another example of somebody that has moved significantly in the direction of understanding freedom. He's come to the conclusion that in the department, they have this statement of ethics, which talks about protecting people and, you know, protecting the peace, keeping the peace, all kinds of wonderful flowery language. But they're violating their own code of ethics when they're putting peaceful people in prison cells for having a plant. You're hurting people. So we're just trying to bring them closer to understanding that. And you don't do that by being angry. I used to be angry. I used to be very upset at having people that I knew being thrown in prison cells for not harming anybody else. But now I've come to, you know, be more understanding and forgiving. And I think that I think a method of appreciation, understanding, and love is much more powerful than anger and hate and vitriol. Does that make sense?
In a way. And understand that this isn't necessarily the reason that we have you here, but I'll ask it now since you just mentioned it, where you have police showing up to arrest peaceful people, whether it's for going topless or trying to plant a plant in Central Square or things of these nature. And people say, look at these arrests. Look at how these people are treated. They didn't need to be arrested. And yet I say, if somebody hadn't been trying to, for lack of a better term, grandstand or make a point, the arrest would never have happened, so the police wouldn't have been challenged, so they wouldn't have to skirt what some feel is being maybe too authoritative or having to act on laws that are improper. Because, again, it's the police officers just doing their job. Firemen don't show up to arrest people, and police don't show up to put out fires necessarily. And I'm thinking, you know, if none of this had been happening, if none of these, again, for lack of a better term, stunts hadn't happened, then the police couldn't be seen as overreacting or executing laws that are unfair, because the only reason these laws are being broken is because somebody's trying to make a point, and most folks don't walk topless downtown.
No,
most folks don't try to plant something downtown because people know that what do you accomplish? So Keene police might all of a sudden show up on a blog or be talked about someplace for, I can't believe they're arresting topless women. I can't believe they arrested somebody for planting some downtown.
It wasn't a
hungry or homeless person planting some downtown because they needed to grow vegetables. It was somebody with too much time on the hand trying to make a point.
Well, and I think their points.
And that could happen with police in any place.
And they're helping us make they're helping those folks make those points by going and making those arrests.
But it's their job.
No, their job is to use discretion, and so they could just choose to go and investigate an arson. If you listen to the police traffic from the scanner that morning, which you can hear live at radio.freekeen.com, but if you listen, because we got the police streaming 24 hours a day, so we've got it recorded of what they were saying, and if you actually listen, they had a call on a runaway that they actually put on hold to go and investigate the woman. They sent three police officers down, all of them wearing dark sunglasses, by the way, to stand and watch as Cassidy was downtown with her top off.
Now, as a taxpayer, as a citizen, and I don't live in Keene, this is where I work and I make my living.
I do live in Keene.
This is where I get a little confused. Because, again, there was no real need or necessity for her to be walking. If she wanted to walk topless, then walk up to Goose Pond and take a dip.
It's a hot day. It's summertime.
Bull crap.
There's a big guy downtown.
But here's the thing. If I'm the parent of that runaway, and I find out, could I be mad at the cops for going to show up for that instead of looking for my kid? But you know who I'd be madder at? The person who caused that event when it's unnecessary.
That doesn't make sense, because the police have a level of priority. Would they have put a murder on hold for that? I hope not. You know, I hope not. So why did they make that choice? That's their decision. It was their option.
It's something that didn't need to happen. That's like saying, I'm going to speed, not because I have to get somewhere quickly, but because I want to encounter the police officers. And how would that young lady have felt if something really bad? No, she didn't want to encounter.
She would have loved to have taken a walk downtown and gone home for the day. That would have been it.
And
it would have been no big deal.
And if there'd been no reaction, nobody showing up, do you think she would have done it again then?
Until somebody did show up,
and has she done it since?
I can't speak
she
for
hasn't,
her.
Has she?
No, she hasn't, She made her point.
God,
they
there's so many more points.
Arrest.
You know, I'd rather have her go volunteer at the Keene Community Kitchen and make a point about
good. But we do have plenty of people that do volunteer at the Community
Kitchen. Then why did she not do it in her hometown?
I think because she's a little intimidated by the Manchester jail. It's kind of a nasty place from what I understand.
Oh, so it's okay to do civil disobedience in an area where you know you're going to be treated with more compassion and respect than in a place where she really wants to make the point, she ought to do it in East L.A. at 11 o'clock at night.
But we don't live in L.A. Come on.
But the laws are the same, and the same laws apply.
I don't know. In cities, sometimes the laws are pretty different about nudity. And the point was made here, Dan. She was arrested illegally. She had her freedom taken from her when they actually had nothing to charge her with. They didn't have any legal basis for what they did. The police, Lieutenant, I think, Jay DeGay, came out afterwards and admitted that much in the Sentinel. So why were they there? They didn't have to be there.
For being charged because they pointed out that nobody complained that it was lewd and lascivious and didn't break any laws. And I agree with that.
The radio traffic, the arresting officer admits he has no crime. Before he actually makes an arrest, he calls on his cell phone. He goes off the air. He gets off the radio and he calls on his cell phone to the sergeant that was on duty at the time. I believe he was talking to the police prosecutor who said, gave him the go-ahead to make this arrest, even though the officer knew better. And he went ahead and did it anyway. He doesn't have to do those things. That's one of the things that I hope police start to come to understand, right, that they don't have to enforce these bad laws.
One more point about that. Let's say that somebody calls up and says, man, somebody's digging up grass in Central Square because somebody wants to plant a plant. And the police say to that individual, well, that's really not that big of a deal. We've been down that road. We're going to let him do it. And the person says, it's right in front of the war memorial, and I think it's pretty disrespectful. Sorry, we're going to ignore your complaint. How far or how should police approach a complaint from a taxpaying citizen because they say, well, we're going to prioritize. We don't think that it's causing a disturbance to see a topless young lady walking in broad daylight downtown, knowing that, you know, let's face it, you're a man, I'm a man. There could be a car accident, for obvious.
We had one guy honk. He came by twice.
But if somebody makes a complaint, isn't it the policeman's duty to go to respond to that complaint? Not necessarily make an arrest. I agree with you there. But to respond to the complaint.
There is no obligation, actually. Point of information here. If you look at the Supreme Court's decisions over the years, they reinforce this one again and again. I know this is shocking. It's iconoclastic. Because the police say they're here to protect and serve. And I really believe there are officers that intend to do that. But they have no obligation. If you call the police and there's an issue at your house and they don't show up, they have no liability for not showing up. There's no obligation for them to respond.
I understand that. Looking at the technicalities. But I'm the taxpayer.
Yeah.
And I want the cop to show up. There's
Most
somebody prowling outside my house. And if they don't, there's going to be hell to pay.
No, there won't be.
There will be as far as I'm concerned.
I'm sorry. What are you going to do about it if they don't show up? You're going to stop paying taxes?
No, I'm not going to stop paying taxes.
Well,
but I'm going to make a... But what usually happens in those instances?
Usually,
I don't know where
you get
as far as where you come... I know in my town, which is a smaller town, and if we have a problem with the cops, we go to the selectmen. If there's more than a few problems with the cops not responding, how come the cops never respond? Well, technically, they don't have to.
I'm not saying they don't.
Heads are going to roll.
I'm not saying they don't hear.
That's the point. That's the realism. And I think part of the problem, Ian, is sometimes, even though you make points, you guys act outside of the realm of reality. And that's what you've been accused of.
What now, does we have that you mean?
That
we act outside of the realm of reality.
Outside, meaning that you'd say, no, they don't have the right. All the cops don't have to show up to things. Yeah, maybe
they,
by the law, but is that reality? They're going to. Why?
Most,
because it's,
yes,
their,
I think
it's
so.
Their job, and that's what they want to do.
But I'm just telling you that they don't have to. There's no obligation.
But they will.
Well,
that's the reality. The reality is they will.
I've seen that the Keene police are cut above. Where I come from, they're very intimidating people down there. Down in Florida, the sheriffs, very intimidating, scary group of people. The Keene police, they don't have that intimidation factor. There may be one or two rogue guys out there. We've had reports of one particular officer making threats that completely was unnecessary. But for the most part, they're friendly folks. And I think they're people that could come to understand that it's time to stop hurting peaceful people. Let's investigate real crimes like arson and rape, you know, stabbings, murders, things like that. I think that's where people want their police resources, not putting their brother Jimmy in jail because he had a joint on him.
We're going to find out about the mayor's race. My point again is, if you look at the list of these responses, how many of them are because of staged responses? Yes, you make a point, but again, they wouldn't have to be doing that if you just would stop.
I'm telling you, they don't have to be doing that.
357-1290, except that they're responding for the example of you know, destruction of the property down on Central
Should
Square.
Rosa Parks have sat at the back of the bus? I mean, should she have just gone and begged
the
city
council? Please do not compare yourselves with what you're trying to do with Ms. Rosa Parks.
Obviously, you can look back at history and say that what she did was very important, and we don't have that kind of perspective on what some of the things are happening here in Keene. We don't have that perspective. It's not exactly the same, but it's civil disobedience nonetheless. You can guarantee people would have told her back then, look, little missy, why do you have to get out of line? Why do you have to, be doing this? Why are you doing this? You could just be going and begging the city council to allow you to sit at the front of the bus. But she decided to take a different approach. And I don't think there's anything immoral about doing the right thing.
Oh, nor do I. I just wanted you to be careful about the comparison.
It's the police that are doing the wrong thing by taking freedom away from peaceful people. That's the issue here.
Ian Bernard is with us for a couple of more minutes. I know there are a couple
Ian
of folks
Freeman.
On the program this morning. Ian is here, and that
Thank
leads
you.
Us to the next issue and the real issue and why he is here. And you wanted to run for mayor, But you were running, again, to make a point.
Yeah, I wanted nobody to
explain what that was about and then what you plan to do next. So you wanted to be running for mayor because of basically some paperwork and because of the ordinances in the city of Keene. You need to provide a physical address to prove that you live
in Keene. That's not
true. Because I can't live in Keene. I mean, I can't run for mayor in Keene because I don't live in Keene.
They insisted, the city clerk, Patty Little, and Bill Dow over there, they insisted that you have to provide a physical address, but it's not true because they'll allow a homeless person to say he's living out under the antenna at WKBK. You know, they don't need an exact address. You can say you're living down by the river in Ward 4 as a homeless person. But for whatever reason, they're not applying that same level of standard to me because they know I don't live homelessly. So they want me to give up my privacy.
But they also don't know. Did you try saying that you live kind of in the vicinity near the... Let's say you have a big tree in front of your house. Say I live under the big chestnut tree in the ward.
I told them that I was willing to certify.
But you said because they know for a fact that you don't live at the post office.
Well, I wasn't at the post office. It was the UPS store. The UPS store.
You don't live in an 8x12 box.
No, but the definition of a domicile, according to their own rules, is somewhere that you'll return to. And I'm absolutely returning to that on a regular basis. And the purpose of what they were demanding from me, which is this thing they call the domicile affidavit, the purpose of that is to essentially certify that you are telling the truth about where you reside. And I live within the Ward 4 designation. That should be good enough. If I can be homeless and register to vote and run as a council candidate in Ward 4, then I should be able to also retain that same level of privacy. And it's no secret where I live. They have my records upstairs in the housing office.
So based on the affidavit, it's just a matter of saying, I promise I tell you I live in Keene.
That's my understanding of it, but their interpretation's different. And it's their interpretation that matters, right, because they're running the show.
Well, they should because we elect them to do that. But you do realize that there was actually a domicile issue.
Patty's appointed.
Where a city council, but she follows the ordinances within the city of Keene.
Supposedly. By her interpretation, yes.
That there was a domicile issue where the city council actually moved, thought they were still in their ward, no longer were, and that person could no longer be a city councilor.
As it should be.
So there's proof.
But I am concerned. In the ward, so that should be good enough.
So what are you going to do next?
I'm thinking about running a write-in campaign, and I figured maybe we could test the waters here, see what the response is for that, because there's nobody else running against Dale Pregent.
And I agree. I'd like to see more candidates, and I agree. And I would say, Ian, just tell them where you live. Give them whatever name, you legally use.
But I was using the legal name, Ian Bernard.
I didn't say you weren't.
The legal name. And I put nobody in quotes in the middle. I've seen all these ballots here in Keene where people use their nicknames. So I use the nickname of nobody. And they said that, well, you haven't been using it for 5 years. Okay, well, what if I use it for 5 years, then come back and try this again? Well, then it's a slogan. So I said, what led to that conversation was I told Patty, I'll give you my exact address. If you'll just certify, you'll allow my nickname on the ballot. She wouldn't do it.
And again, you wanted to be called nobody because you wanted to be represent the box that doesn't exist on the ballot that votes for anybody but or...
And I think it's a ballot that should exist because a lot of people complain. And I'm sure you've heard this. Maybe you even said it to yourself. Oh, you know, I don't want to vote for these two guys or these two people, the lesser of two evils. A lot of voters choose the lesser of two evils because they don't really like either of their choices. There should be that option to say, I don't want either of these people. I don't want anyone, nobody.
If,
check that.
And this was something we were going to talk about if you were allowed to be a candidate, that if you were voted in, if you won the election as the nobody candidate, meaning people wanted to choose something else, then you would have turned down the job. Would you have turned down the job?
No, I would have not. I would not have sworn the oath, and I would not show up to any meetings. I've got a show to do.
So you wouldn't have done it anyway, so people would have basically...
They'd been voting for nobody. If nobody had won, then there would be nobody for mayor. Now, of course, the city council has the option to replace anybody that's not showing up to a meeting. And would they exercise that option? I don't know, because they could. But then if they did, they'd be going against the will of the voters who expressly said, we want nobody. I mean, of course, we're talking about if nobody actually won, which maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. We're not going to see it on the ballot. So I mean, I'm not sure. Should I run what do you think, Dan? Should I get
if you ran as a write-in candidate, but you'd still have to provide at some point, you'd be right back with the same red tape or whatever.
Well, they haven't actually unregistered me to vote. Now, this is what they say they're going to do. They say that they've taken me off the ballot. That much we know they've done. But they also said they're going to try to unregister me from the voters' rolls, which, interestingly, is not a process that you can initiate. You can't go down and say, you know, I'm tired of this voting thing. I'd like to be off the rolls. They just don't allow that. Once you're on for 10 years. But if they decide they want to get rid of you, they can do that. And so they've begun the process. You'd think it'd be just going into the computer and removing you. Apparently, there's a process and some sort of committee that's going to be contacting me to give me another chance to certify my domicile, right? So I'll be going through some sort of process, and we'll see what happens there. But there's a possibility that by the time the primary comes around, that I'll still be a registered voter. So perhaps a write-in campaign would work, or they'll just come up with some other excuse to keep me off the ballot.
357-1290. We'll keep you in here for a couple of more minutes. Your show is until tonight, so I assume you've got some free time right now.
Take as much as you want.
It's 9:30. You're listening to AM 1290 and FM 104.1. WKBK, you're on the air. Good morning, and thanks for being so patient. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Listen, it's counterproductive to run around naked on the streets or carry M16s, okay? It doesn't help the cause of freedom.
Okay, who has run around naked? Who has carried an M16?
Because it's unreasonable, and reasonable people are going to look at that, and they're going to say these people are wackos. So I agree with you on a lot of points, Ian, but it's counterproductive to do that type of thing.
Okay. And this is something, Ian, that you and I have talked about, whether you've called in or whatever, is I understand the cause, and a lot of people respect the cause, and a lot of people believe in the cause, but it's sort of the attitude, the sarcasm, the stunts, the cost of the taxpayers, that doesn't help you. And we've talked about it, but again, explain your point why you prefer vinegar versus sugar to attract
vinegar,
the flies.
Hold on a second. Just because one person calls in and says it's counterproductive doesn't mean that it's true. We don't know what everybody else out there thinks. And I think that there is a point to civil disobedience. I think it brings issues to the front of discussion. In the case of the topless thing, which isn't going naked, it's going topless. In the case of the topless thing, it brought that issue out. The Keene police managed to make the determination they'd made a mistake. This is completely legal. Women should be equal to men. Why is that counterproductive for a lady who is up in temperature to remove her shirt on a hot summer day? There's a huge guy that walks in downtown Keene and sits on a bench. I don't know what his name is. He's huge, and has the biggest man boobs you've ever seen, and he's very offensive looking, but he's allowed to sit there all day long and just let it all hang out.
And again,
fine.
I've lived here my whole life, and you said you brought up the issue. And I wonder, why did it need to be brought up? Because it hadn't been an issue before.
For Cassidy, she felt it was an issue in her. She felt that she was not equal to her male counterparts
in her town where she lived.
She went.
She went away from her home to do it in a safer place.
Can you blame her for that, Dan?
Well, does that mean on a really hot day, she can only go away from her town to cool off?
I don't think that's necessarily the case, but the point was
she didn't want to go to the Manchester lockup. Don't blame her for that, by the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, because these places are inhumane. They're sick.
357-1290, a number to
she
call.
She doesn't belong there. She hasn't hurt anybody.
Exactly
there's no,
right. And
no
I agree.
Victim.
I agree. But again, if her point was she would have been in her backyard gardening with her top off or walking to get an iced tea at the corner store in her neighborhood because she was hot. Me, frankly, I sit in the car with the air conditioner. Only in my wife's car because my car's air conditioner is broke. Ian is with us. KBK, you're on the air. Good morning. Are you there?
Hello.
KBK, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Here's another caller. His candidacy is pointless and counterproductive.
Okay. So you don't want a choice. You don't want a choice. That's fine.
But here's the thing. Why not, Ian, say, you know, I'm going to do everything by the book. I'm going to run a real campaign. I'm going to challenge this incumbent. And you don't have to declare a party, right?
Cause it's, no, I
can't. So you don't have to worry about whether they call you libertarian or green or whatever, the Freeman Party.
But I don't have
kind
time
of got a ring to it.
To do that stuff. I've got my radio show to run. I do the affiliate relations for it.
You don't have to do. Believe me, there have been some mayoral candidates that haven't done a lot.
Well, that's just it. I mean, I'm just, my idea is to run for giving, just to give people that choice, just to give something else to vote for.
Then do it. Do it in a way that actually gets your name on the ballot so people do have that choice of not choosing.
Well, the only way that can be possible is through the write-in campaign at this point. If people were to write in Ian Bernard, then it would be the ball would be back in the city's court, and would they allow it to happen? Because then you've got the voters saying they want this to happen. Then it's not just me going in with $5 into the city clerk's office, which I wonder if I'll get a refund on that, by the way.
I'd ask for one. I'd ask for change all the time. There's only a penny. I still want it because it's money. KBK, you're on the air. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for Ian.
Hey there.
You might not know this, but the young lady that did the protest, topless protest, was she aware of the situation in the state with the indecent exposure law, or was this
what
just a spur of the moment? Well, the fact that it wasn't illegal.
You know, it's hard to interpret their laws because it's written in legalese and it's very difficult to understand. So
I think what he's saying is, were they hoping for a challenge to the Supreme Court or for somebody to create a law about this?
I think that if she, and again, I can't speak exactly for her, but from my understanding, if she were to be charged, she had the intention to take it all the way up to the top. I don't know if she was expecting to be charged or not, so it's all up to what they do, whatever they decide. And they decided that they didn't want to take it to court because they were worried the entire ordinance would be thrown out. The entire statute about indecent exposure will be thrown out, which really shows you how poorly structured their whole system is.
My worry is that there is probably dozens, if not hundreds, of these bogus ordinances and things that we assume are illegal and they're not. And the fact that the police... it chose to arrest her kind of bothers me. I kind of have to side with the other folks here that this was a legitimate protest.
Thank you. It absolutely is.
Regardless of whether it was hot, regardless of whether it was in Keene or Manchester, it was still in the state of New Hampshire. And if civil disobedience has its place, some of the tactics the Free Staters have taken in the past have not actually been probably the brightest. But I have to side with them on this issue. I mean, it's a legitimate protest.
And that
and being
said, and I agree with you, caller, by the way, but now isn't what's going to happen is somebody's going to go to Concord, and they're going to write a bill, and that bill will become law that will say women can't go topless.
That'll be a sad day.
Won't happen. It won't happen. You've got to have some trust in our citizenry.
You'll have if that happens, Dan, you'll have a massive protest out in front of
women.
The Capitol. Yes, you
or,
will.
Yeah, exactly.
Of topless women.
Then you'll end up with your Supreme Court challenge that you were wanted, and it'll be settled once and for all.
Well, remember that it was not just Cassidy that was topless. She had men that were also topless to point out the absurdity of this. You
I personally feel this is representative of the double standard of the treatment of men and women that's been going on for a long time. And it's better than it used to be, but there's still a long way to go. Yeah. And I think that the topless issue, because it makes people uncomfortable, you know, especially as guys, you know, because of the like you said, the car accident issue. But it's very representative. I mean, it goes to the point that the genders are not created equal.
There's a second issue. You're right about that. And there's also another issue, which we haven't touched on yet today, and that is that it's a tragedy of the commons issue. The same thing with the illegal gardening that you mentioned earlier, Dan. The big problem, the underlying issue here, beyond the questions of, well, should men and women be equal to go topless, or should people be able to plant seeds in the public property, the issue is really public property and the tragedy of the commons and how it is that they claim that, well, everybody owns it. But if you try to act like an owner and try to control the thing that you supposedly own, then you find out that in point of fact you don't own it. That is, the people calling themselves the government that actually own the property. So you have this issue where they're trying to please everybody and also please nobody, and nobody can do exactly what they want on public property. If property were privately owned, if I'm out in front of the Monadnock Radio Group and I decide to take my shirt off and, Bob Cox, the general manager here, doesn't like that very much, me parading out in front of your parking lot, I'm scaring off your sales clients, things like that. He has the right to say, "Get off my property,"
and you would leave.
And I would leave. It's public. But, it's part.
And I know this
property.
Is delicate, and I know you don't have the answer to this, and I know I don't have the answer to this, and I'm guessing nobody in the audience has the answer to this. But where do you draw the fine line and accept or come into acceptance the whole idea? And it's different from state to state, country to country. God knows there are parts of Europe that women can just run around topless. That's fine. But at what point do you say there needs to be ordinance or some sort of agreement to prevent civil unrest so that people aren't a nice park that people like to play frisbee in or enjoy the sun?
Mm-hmm.
What if everybody did go over and dig up the Ashwheelet River Park? What a shame. What an awful thing
We
can't agree that shouldn't be dug up, but we can't infringe upon one person's right or free will to go right in the middle of it to plant some zucchini. Like, we need more zucchini, but let's face it, it grows and the guy will be able to eat it this fall.
If you recall...
How, but do you understand what I'm saying, whether it's that or the fact that somebody may be offended, an older lady or somebody with their grandkids, that a lady's going topless. The same way, by the way, yes, we're offended about fat guy on the bench, but do you understand... And without being sarcastic, Ian, how do you draw the line about, and I'm serious, how do you do it, not without getting legal, because I know you don't want the law to step in, but how do we draw that line? How do we protect the things that we want to protect, whether it's social norms or a beautiful park? You know, how do we keep somebody from dangling off Mount Rushmore? And you know, how do we do that? Should we do that? Or do we have to just trust?
If you want to protect something, you should own it. I think that the whole concept of public property is fallacious. You know, it brings in tragedy to the commons every single time, because if one person wants to use it in a certain way and another person wants to use it in a different way, you've got this very difficult conflict on your hands. Whereas if one person has their land and the other person has their land, and if, you know, you want to hang off the mountain on your own land, that's your choice. If you want to go topless, you want to go naked on your land, you should be able to make those choices for yourself. But when it comes to public property, you've got this mess of a situation. And when it comes to the...
Well, by mess, you mean the public owns it, and yet they don't own it.
Exactly. And you've got Jesse, who was the guy that did the illegal gardening. He went out there. Remember, his purpose, Dan, wasn't to just plant a garden. It was also to make a statement about the fact that the night before, I think, the city council had passed a $5,000 giveaway of taxpayer dollars to a company that was doing a study on whether or not a co-op was feasible.
The food co-op.
Most people, when they're getting into business for themselves, you know, the Monadnock Radio Group didn't go to the Keene city government and ask for money to find out if it was feasible to build an antenna farm somewhere.
That's what public radio does.
That's a whole other issue.
Sorry.
But, again, you know, tragedy of the commons there with public radio. Even though they're now 90% privately funded, why don't they just cut the last 10% and go all the way? But he was making the point that, why do you need to spend $5,000 to determine whether a garden or a co-op or whatever is possible? So he decided to go ahead and make his own garden, and he did it on public land to make the point about the tragedy of
the commons. So, again, just to answer the question, I want to grab a couple more calls before we let you go. But how would you recommend, or can we recommend, can we still live up to your ideals and beliefs of what you think this country ought to be and still be able to protect a park or
absolutely,
you know,
I mean, think
a mountain
about
stream.
Imagine Central Square, which is where the gardening thing happened, being owned by the Downtown Association instead of the City of Keene. At least then you have people that have a direct interest in making sure it stays beautiful.
So you would sell off
park.
A lot of this to have Mount Rushmore bought by a nonprofit organization that would maintain and protect it.
I think the Nature Conservancy does a good job, from what I understand. This is
protecting land, yeah.
Exactly, a private organization that essentially buys up swaths of land and says, we think this is important land, so you don't get to, and no one gets to buy it or build on it. We're just going to sit on it and take care of it.
So make it less of a public entity, even though it might be funded in part by a public entity, to oversee it or protect it.
One of the things I think is great about here in Keene is the parks are taken care of on a voluntary basis, many of them. You mentioned the Ashuela River Park. There's a group of volunteers.
Well, they maintain the flowers and the shrubs and the
that's a lot of work, though.
Sure.
I mean, and it looks beautiful as a result of that. And I've seen some government parks in my time that have not been so pretty, where it's just taken care of by the Parks and Recreation guys. And it's not to say they don't care. It's not to say they're not interested in taking care of those things. They just don't have the same incentive. You know, the Downtown Association has a different incentive than the City of Keene to take care of a Central Square. So should it be sold to them? I don't know if that's the case, because I think if you start selling things, then you bring in more politics and favoritism and favors and things like that. It makes more sense to just kind of seed ownership of it.
357-1298-66, 357-1290. You're next on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. A couple of points. Number one is, I would prefer, even if it's people I totally don't agree with running for political office, the people who run there are people who are serious about fulfilling what the role is. And secondly, I guess in the future, Dan, if you're going to have Ian on for the hour, I'd prefer that you announce it ahead of time so that I can know to just not listen for the day, because I've been waiting for the open mic segment. That's no offense to Ian, but sincerely, I was hoping to have other discussions about other issues that are facing the country and the community.
Well, go for it.
And Well, it's not open, though. It's you're on, right? I mean, he had billed us as you being on for a couple of minutes to talk about the mayor's
race. But that's no different. That would happen if this could have been Mayor Pregin or any other topic where we've extended the time.
It's still open mic,
yeah,
though,
but
right?
This is quite a bit of an extension. So anyway,
but also listen, and to be honest, I know you've been listening this morning, and I didn't get a call from you or on any of these other issues between 8 and 9 o'clock when there was plenty of open phone line time, not to mention between 7 and 8 o'clock. So it's not as though that time was just reserved between 9:30 and 10 o'clock for the talk. It's open all the time. I understand what she's saying, and if this was absolutely uncharacteristic of anything that I've done for 27 years on the radio, I would bow to you and I'd kick Ian out this very second. But it happens probably
open
two or three
phones.
Times a week.
Hey, you know, Dan, I'm used to taking open phones. It's all we do on my show.
Right. But it also goes back to some of this point. If people don't like what somebody has to say, and I'm talking about radio and local talk radio in general, it's not to call up to present the argument. It's, I don't want to hear them. Don't let them speak anymore. And that, and I know, is something that you and I ardently agree on.
Let's talk about the issues.
You don't have to listen, but you don't have to try to take away that person from other people listening. And that's censorship, and there's a lot of it going on. And unfortunately, it's coming mostly from just one side these days, and that's a political side. And it's abhorrent. 357-1290 KBK, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Dan.
How are you
good
today?
Morning.
Oh, I'm fine. Why can't these people that feel that they want to go naked, why can't they join a nudist colony?
Well, they can.
Why don't they?
I don't know. Again, let's not.
What about men going topless? I mean,
I don't
also
like the looks of that either.
Well,
I think
private,
it's disgusting.
That's where private property can come in to solve this problem, because you know, what kind of business owner is going to want that going on out in front of their business?
I know, and that one, it sits up there and on the park bench,
mm-hmm,
all sprawled out,
yep,
only just a pair of shorts on. I know who he is, and he got thrown out of a certain place, and because I was there. And he was mad and swearing and everything because they made him leave. He didn't have a shirt on.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I've heard he steals soda pop from certain establishments. I won't name it.
Yeah, well, I heard, too, he exposed himself to a female.
All right. Again, we digress. Appreciate the phone call. But, again, the point, and for the lady, wasn't so much about, you know, should people be topless? Should they not be topless? What's allowed? What's not? It was to make a point, to bring up the point, to challenge the point, to challenge the behavior of the police and how they might handle it.
Right. The point is, if there is going to be public property, shouldn't people, human beings, be treated equally?
357-1290, the number to call. And you're next on Open Mic. Good morning. Go ahead.
This is me?
Yes.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
There.
Ian, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I wonder what you think if she was sitting down there, the woman that was topless, and she was sitting down there on a park bench, but she was nursing.
That's fine. I mean, what would be the problem?
I wonder what you think the police would do then.
I haven't the slightest clue. That would be a question for officer whoever it was.
Right.
Palace,
do you think that it would have been as much of an issue?
Well, again, you have to ask the question. The police didn't just go on their own, right? They were called?
They had complaint calls come in from people who would not mention who they were. So they didn't actually have any official complaint. They didn't have anything to act on. And that's what the police officer said in the radio traffic was, I don't have a complaint. I don't have a victim. I don't have a crime.
Yeah, to have somebody who felt that it was lewd and lascivious.
Right.
As
and there
opposed
are
to just,
right. There are people that believe that women shouldn't breastfeed in public. I think they're
absolutely
wrong. I think that's outrageous. But there are people who could call the police for
they
something
could,
like that.
They could, but that usually doesn't happen. Let's face
I don't know.
It.
I was just wondering if we thought that would happen in Keene, if somebody would call
no,
the cops on a woman.
It happens. I saw it just the other day.
I hope
yeah, but
time.
Without a shirt completely?
Well.
Not covered at all?
Again, in that case, somebody would probably complain.
Right, that's what I was wondering.
But again, it's not the police just going, whoa, hey, look at that, pull over and let's discuss it. But the breastfeeding issue, believe it or not, is still an issue for some folks. Should it happen in restaurants? What about a daycare?
And then when it's in a restaurant,
it's a social norms question.
And then that's where the restaurant gets to set the policy. You know, I don't.
Well, if they do, yes.
Right, that's when they get to say, well, we think this is okay or not okay. And
right,
if you don't like it, eat somewhere else.
357-1290, the number to call. Thank you, ma'am, for the phone call.
Thank you.
You're next on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Dan.
How
good
are
morning.
You?
How you doing?
Good.
You know, this is all just like a big thing to like say, look at me. You know, I mean, it's so ridiculous. I used to live in Berkeley, and there was a guy in Berkeley who was going to school, and he was the naked man. And when he was first doing it, it was like, that's funny. You know, there's a naked guy, right? And then it was just
what,
like...
he would go to class?
Oh, yeah, he'd just walk around.
Oh, no, I remember that. That was a national story, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay,
and
good for him.
It was like a big deal, you know? And there was all this controversy over it. And then it was just like, everyone was... You'd see him, he'd just be like, you know what, just put some damn clothes on. You look like an idiot, okay? And if you want to walk around Berkeley naked, you can. But no one really wants to see it. And it's just stupid. And it's like the same thing with this woman that wants to walk around topless. She doesn't want to do it because she wants to walk around topless. She wants to do it because she's not allowed to do it.
And well, you're putting words in her mouth, and well, you don't know what her her reasons were. She said...
Well, no, but what I think he's saying is he's suspecting that's what it was. Let's put it that way.
Did she walk around... Has she ever walked around any other public place topless? Probably not.
Well, she's only 18 years old. She's only 18 years old, so most people...
Can I talk? But because there's some little gathering that they're having to make their point, she walks around topless. And it's just like, okay,
right. How dare that uppity woman walk around and pretend like she's equal to men?
No, but no, listen, hold on, Colin.
You know
I think the
That's
point
not
is,
true.
If the point was, I'm going to go visit a friend in Keene. I like Keene. Keene's a nice place. Man, it's hot out. I think I'll take my top off. Maybe his point is. And, caller, if it's not, you disagree with me. Why was there somebody there with a video camera? Why were there other people there to support her if this wasn't? And I think
of
Ian will agree with you.
It was an event.
It was an event.
Obviously, it was thought out in advance, but don't you agree with the purpose? Dave, is this David in Keene?
No.
We don't give out names and
I
stuff,
see.
Ian.
Well, he's called my show before.
My show, not your show.
So, don't you agree with the purpose that women should be treated equally as men?
Yeah.
But that's not the point he's making.
That's not... The whole thing is that it's all about who yells the loudest gets...
She didn't yell at anybody.
Here. Well, you know what he's saying.
No, but she's yelling by...
What would you suggest? What would you do if you were her? Go and beg the city council for an exemption from a law that they shouldn't be enforcing in the first place?
It's not begging. If you want to get something done, do it within the means that there is to get it done.
Or how about this at the very least? If she wanted to do... Why didn't she do this? She shows up in Keene. She visits her friend, whoever she wanted to visit. They want to go get an ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, watch this, to her friend. I'm going to take my top off, see what happens. And chances are the same thing pretty much would have happened. Police would have showed up. They wouldn't have had a case. Same ends the means. You accomplish everything else. You accomplish basically what you set out to do, but without the stunt factor. So this is what happens. There's more respect for her, her purpose, her cause. She accomplishes the same thing. And people don't go, oh, there they go again.
You're jumping to conclusions that things would have played out the exact same way.
Nothing would have happened.
It's all much ado about nothing. If, you know, is she walking around topless now?
She lives
probably
in Manchester. I don't know.
And it's 59 degrees.
I'll bet that she's not walking around topless now.
Right, because it's cold
because,
now.
Yeah, no, probably because it's not a show anymore. You know, it's just this is all about a media, not just a media grab, but it's all look at me. It's whoever yells the loudest gets looked at and gets the attention. It's like the idiot in Congress yelling, "You lie!" Look at all the attention he gets.
Maybe
it's
you
about,
should be upset.
It's about all the idiots that you guys have on.
That's right. Just ad hominem because it's so brilliant.
Well, and I appreciate Carl. I do get to let you go finally now, Ian, because we are out of time for the hour. But I think. And again, a point, and I'll say this, I won't say it's the caller's point, but from what I hear from people is it's okay for civil disobedience to make a point, but it's the showmanship and everything else that gets involved that turns people off. And again, I may be wrong, but to get people to side with your cause, you want to turn them on and not turn them off. You don't want to, by the way, preach to the choir. You want to preach to the folks whose minds you're trying to
educate. You can't please everyone, Dan. You can't please everybody. And there's a lot of positive response that has come out of we're talking about the topless thing. There's a lot of positive response that has come from that. And what's wrong with having a camera present or two cameras present for something like that? It helps keep people safe. It makes sure the police do their job as they're supposed to and not hurt anybody unnecessarily. There's nothing wrong with that particular approach, and everything worked out okay.
Right. But I'm just saying, from a perspective of the general public in Keene, it's a perspective thing. You do understand.
I don't speak for them, and neither do you.
No, but They speak to me an awful lot.
Some of them do. A select percentage.
And a percentage that I like an awful lot. Thanks so an awful
too.
Lot, Ian. Ian Bernard,
thanks
for joining us.
It's been fun.
Sorry to keep you extra long. I know that bummed you out.
No problem.
It's
I had a blast. Are you kidding?
9:55, you're listening to AM 1290 and FM 104.1. It's WKBK, Keene, New Hampshire. News in the Glenn Beck program on the way next. Don't forget, Red Sox and Angels tonight, live from Fenway Park at 7:10. We'll see you back here tomorrow, 9 to 10 o'clock. It's What's Cooking with Luca Paris. We'll be in the KBK kitchen with the women owner-operators of the Monadnock Inn in Jaffrey. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. KBK, good morning.